Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Visibility Catalyst, best-selling publisher, and a woman on a mission to inspire women to live their best lives. I'm Linda Joy, and I am so glad that you joined us for today's inspiring show. With me today is Kathy Crawford, an author, integrative coach, speaker, and spiritual teacher. In her new book, Unlocking Secrets, My Journey to an Open Heart, Kathy shares her transformative and inspiring story as she empowers women to reclaim their own authentic self and become the change maker of their life. Following a successful sales career in the luxury industry, Kathy's the founder of Your Truthful Life, a community of women supporting each other to discover and follow their own courageous voice. Welcome, Kathy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Linda. I'm so happy to be here. So happy. Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You know, one of the things that I think really resonated when I visited your site and learned more about your book, which I can't wait to receive in the mail, is that I think we all have secrets in our life, small, medium, big, and I've lived them. And I also realize that there's such a weight to our energy field, to our spiritual growth, and to our, in some cases, to our happiness. So in your book, you share that you kept a secret for 30 years to protect the ones that you love, right? Children, family, friends. Let's talk about that. Start us with your story and your journey, because that's a long time to be weighed down by a secret, isn't it?
Yes, it really was. And the most interesting thing was I never really looked at it as a secret, believe it or not, because I think that what happens is we just believe, and it's true, that these are the circumstances of our life, right? These are just things that happen to us along the way. And, you know, you kind of just, it just becomes part of your DNA. And so for me, when I really realized that it was a secret, was almost 20 years after the fact. And it had been because I was on my spiritual quest to heal a broken heart, you know, to really feel more whole and fulfill and find some more joy in my life. And my secret started back in early 80s, about 1988. And I was young. I was in my 30s. And my husband was diagnosed at that time with AIDS. And, you know, at that time, we didn't even realize he had HIV, but, you know, at that time, it was, you know, everything was AIDS. It had just, you know, people were just finding out about it. It was really considered the Black Plague. It came from left field. We had no idea, you know, what was happening. And, you know, that was really, that was my secret. Because it was something that was shrouded in around in shame, right? Because only at that time, only bad people got AIDS.
Yeah, and it was the stigma of the time.
Yes, and you know, some of your audience may be, you know, younger, and they may be like, nowadays, right? We all know about it. We know how to deal with it. We have treatment for it. But at that time, there was not even treatment for it. People were dying in the streets. St. Vincent's Hospital in New York looked like zero. And we were petrified. We were scared out of our minds. And, but it was, so, you know, and I was introduced to it not in, the easiest way. Larry, who's my husband, and I had just bought a house, and we had applied for a life insurance policy. He failed the policy. He was denied. And we had to go to a doctor to find out why. And we went to a doctor who, you know, we walked in his office, and he said, "I've never said this to anyone. I don't know how to say it, so I'm just going to say it." And he said, "You have AIDS." He said, "And there is no cure. There is no treatment. There is no hope for you. You need to prepare yourself to die."
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Right? And that's how this message was delivered to us. And we just, you know, the disbelief, we couldn't comprehend. Time had stopped still. And basically, that, you know, said, "I'm really sorry. If you have children, go home and hold them close. And if you have family and friends, keep them, you know, in close to you also. Get your affairs in order, and you are going to die." And he literally stood up and walked us out of his office. And that was our introduction. That was my introduction into this world of AIDS and HIV. And so, again, when, you know, you mentioned, it's like, so what I instantly did was, you know, became the protector. You know, Larry was in shock. I watched my beloved be given a death sentence. And we were sitting in the car after we had left the doctor's office, and, you know, we had to get home. My mom was watching the kids, and he said, "You know, until we figure this out, please, please don't tell anyone, not even your mother." And I was, of course, like, "Oh my God, like, no problem." Like, I couldn't even imagine telling my mother, right? Or my sister, or anybody near and dear, or his mother, you know. And it was that day that, you know, I always say Larry found out he became infected with the virus, and I really became infected with the secret, because for 8 years, Larry wound up living. And in those 8 years, until the last 3 months of his life, we never told a soul. I never told
him. And then in the last 3 months, you shared the news?
I convinced him. I convinced him to say, "I cannot do this any longer. I cannot carry this, you know, by myself." Right.
Yeah.
And now at this point, you know, I know he's not well. And Larry never got full blown AIDS. He wound up actually dying of cancer, and, you know, he had no immune system and things like that, but he never got full blown AIDS. But I knew, we knew that he was not doing well. New treatments were coming along. You know, it was 8 years. That was a long time for someone to live with the virus. And I begged him, because I didn't want the burden, and I didn't want, it was really more the responsibility, to have to tell all these people after he was gone. That was a big thing for me. I didn't want to have to tell his mother.
Yeah, you didn't want to be the deliverer of the news.
Yeah.
So when you shared with his mom and, you know, the close family members, did you share it, or did he? Or by that time, he was not able to share it himself?
Yeah, no. What had happened was, we told my mother and father first. And my mother was, you know, my mother and father embraced us totally. And convinced, you know, really sat down with Larry and really gave him so much love and support, which was not what we weren't sure what to expect, right? I mean, you create these things, right? Like, we just had no idea. And my mother was very instrumental in supporting him and telling his mother, because I think that was a very painful thing for him to do, was to tell his mother. And she, you know, she helped support him in that way. And, you know, it was a beautiful outcome. There was everyone was, you know, supportive and loving. But the interesting thing was, Linda, everyone still kept it a secret amongst
the family.
Do you
think they kept it a secret? This is what I'm curious about. And I have friends that have passed from AIDS.
Sure.
So I understand some of the stigma, the emotions of what you shared. Do you believe they kept the secret too because of the shame at that time and the projections from the world? Do you think that's why they kept the secret, or was it too just because they wanted to honor and love him, or a combination?
It was definitely both. Because there was days, just like myself, that my mother would call me up and she'd say, can I just ask my doctor? Can't we just do it? Because they wanted to help, right? So they wanted to talk about it and they wanted to help. But then at the same time, I had two small children. You know, when Larry was diagnosed, I had just had a baby. And we didn't know if the baby had HIV. We didn't know if I had HIV. I mean, they were a really trying 8 years. That first year was just, we didn't know anything. And then having my parents and his parents become involved, you know, it was kind of like they wanted to do a lot of that. Larry and I, you know, had the beginning, and we just kind of reassured them that we were doing the best that we could. We had the best treatment that we could have, and we were just really proactive. But I think at the same time, they were just as concerned about my kids, you know, about me. I mean, we were already red flagged as far as insurance and health insurance and life insurance. I mean, he was in the system. There was no way, you know, that it's like a credit report. Well, there's a health insurance report.
Exactly.
And, So I think that, you know, it wasn't as much for them the shame or, you know, what would people think, but it was more of a protection. So really, you know, that's why I say, like, when the secret, you know, I never really thought of it as a secret. I thought of it as something that I would do, you know, when you really love someone and you protect them. And I was protecting children and my family, and, you know, so it was really a combination of both.
I'm so appreciative of you being here today to share the story. When we come back from our break, I want to talk about more about that time between diagnosis and waiting to find out if you or your newborn infant had it. So we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Kathy Crawford of Kathy, and that's Kathy, K-A-T-H-E, Crawford. Visit her at kathycrawford.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, how loving yourself creates ripples of transformation in your relationships and the world, Marcy Shymoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing. Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is integrative coach, speaker, and spiritual teacher, Kathy Crawford, author of Unlocking Secrets, My Journey to an Open Heart. So, Kathy, during that time, waiting to see if you became infected with a virus or your newborn, I can't even imagine. Well, I actually can't imagine because I have friends and family go through this back around that same time period. I think it was in the early 90s when wasn't as much of a stigma as when you and your husband went through it. Walk us through what that must have felt like for you waiting. And was you and your child okay?
It was, it was actually probably close to a month to actually find out the test results. I mean, nowadays, right, you know, it's 3 days, maybe a week, and you'll find out. And it was endless. And, you know, I think the hardest part for all of us was watching, well, for all of us, for Larry and I, you know, it was one thing if Larry had HIV and he had AIDS, but then to have given it to his newborn child and to me, it was more than he could bear. And so that month was really, really tough. I will say though that I did go to the pediatrician. I did tell the pediatrician who he was this wonderful, wonderful doctor. He was very old school. He was already at that time, probably in his late 60s. And I begged him, you know, I said, please, I have to tell you, but you can't, right? And he was like, fine. And even like, and so, you know, I had to take his advice. And his advice was, you, Kathy, you go get tested. Said, because the baby symptoms. He said, I'm just starting to see babies being born with AIDS in the hospital. He said, I don't have a lot of experience. He said, but, you know, Brian does not show any visible signs. He said, so let's start with you. He said, because if this baby, if I run this test, this baby will be marked for life if he does have it. And we cannot lose your health, you know. So
he was a gift.
He was a gift. He was a gift. And, you know, of course, it's, you know, when you tell this story, Linda, it's so funny because, you know, everybody has their, oh, what would you do? And your thoughts and your opinions. And, you know, I was just, I trusted him. And isn't that what, you know, we're all challenged to do in our own lives, right? Is to trust. And I did. And I trust him. And I went and I got tested. Of course, I got tested at a clinic randomly. I was a number. And, you know, the test results had come back for me that I was negative. And my doctor suggested that we just observe Brian because he felt the chances. I would have had to have it. But then again, this was so new to everyone. Could the baby have gotten it and I didn't? And, you know, it was interesting because...
Yeah, those were the unknowns at the time.
Yeah. And yet I was so ecstatic that I didn't have it. At the same time, how do I share this? I mean, of course, Larry and I were thrilled that I didn't have it, which meant the baby probably didn't have it. But these were all feelings and emotions that I really had no one to talk to about. Right?
Exactly. And, who could you turn to?
Yeah, like even good news about all of this, right? Because later down the road, I had found out because I had been put into studies with other women. There was a very small handful of women who were with men that had HIV, AIDS, and did not get it. And they wanted to know what was in our system. that allowed us to not get it. Because look, they're looking for, you know, a vaccine. They're looking for a cure. They're looking for information. And I actually had, this was probably about 5 years into Larry having it, you know, that I went into this study. And then I found out it was, you know, of course it was anonymous and it was written up in, you know, medical journals. And, you know, I had this, I don't know, this gene or cell that was that helped resist the virus. And I was so happy and so proud, and yet I couldn't even tell anybody that. So everything good or bad was always tainted around this secret. And the biggest secret, because there was a lot of, because, you know, one secret comes from another secret. You know, people will ask, and I'm sure your listeners are wondering, how did Larry get AIDS, right? How did he get HIV? Well, Larry had been a recovered heroin addict, which no one knew.
Another secret. Another layer,
another secret, right? Because now if I tell people that he has this, you know, how are they, they going to be like, how did he get it? And it was not, you know, having two small children, these were not stories I was ready to tell my children or share, or, you know, there was people in my life, you know, I just was not giving up this information. So, yeah. So one secret leads to another.
It does. And what I would love to discuss today, because is your journey to finally, because it took about 20 years, right, after your husband's death. What got you, what started your journey of, you know, on the spiritual path and healing and love, that led you to release the secret? So something got you on the path, right, to start with. Was there a big moment, or it was just an unfolding?
What had happened, it was, you know, after Larry passed, you know, I'm like 30-something years old, I'm almost 39 years old. I don't know the first thing about death and dying. And, you know, I have been holding this house of cards up, and I've been this, you know, this person that was no longer who I was, right? Like, if my kids wanted to take a drink from their father's cup, I'm like, you know, grabbing the cup saying, oh, no, no, please don't take, you know, daddy has a cold. My husband came home with a cut on his hands. It's like, don't touch the babies, you know. And yet, so I had this role that for 8 years, you know, people would be like, wow, you're just like, you're really intense, Kathy. You're really a control freak. You're like all these things, which I really wasn't as in the core of my essence of who I was, but I had to become this. So after he had died, you know, I really, almost by the time he died, and I hope you can understand where I'm coming from, it was almost like, when is this going to be over? Because I didn't know when we were diagnosed if Larry would be gone in 8 days, 8 months, right? It's like, you know, life was on hold. So when he passed, I really believed at that moment that this whole piece, this whole chapter would over. And little did I know that that's really when it exploded, because I was left alone. I loved my husband very much. And here I was grieving. I had two small children. I was widowed. I had to get my life in order. I had, you know, had to build a career. And so I had gone through traditional therapy. I'd gone through prescription drugs, you know, Prozac, anxiety medication, you know, everything. I was, you know, and I was juggling being a single mom. I didn't like being a single mom because everyone thought I was divorced. And, you know, the image that people had of me, right, who would be widowed in their 30s, right? So people naturally. So I became these different people, but it's never me. So finally, at one point, was a pivotal point for me. I was in my therapist's office, and it had been well over 10 years. And I just said to him, I was like, I mean, on the outside, don't get me wrong, everything was wonderful. I was holding it all together, but I was still broken. I was broken inside. I just really was not happy. And I said, come on. I said, it's years. Like, this can't all be from this experience. And that is when he handed me a book, Awakening from Grief, It was from my dear, who is now, my dear, dear spiritual teacher and meditation teacher, Ramananda John Welshin. And it was a book that changed my life because it was about loss. And it wasn't just loss in the traditional sense of death. It was loss of a loved one in a relationship, of a job, of, you know, the emotion of losing someone rather than the factual, this is the process for grieving. This is what you do, like the mechanics of it. This really was about the emotion. And I went back to my therapist and I said, this guy gets it because this nobody's working with me in my heart. And it was that pivotal moment that when I realized that I needed to start working on my heart, and I didn't, of course, understand it as well as you know. And I actually went and I met John. John actually lived in New Jersey, which is where I live. And I went to his meditation workshop and I stood in front of him and I just, tears just streamed down my eyes. And I just knew he was going to be the person that was going to put me on the path to healing. And he was. And so through meditation is where my spiritual journey began.
And look at where that path has brought you. You know, you have a beautiful memoir. You are now teaching other women how to live a truthful life. You've created a community of women who are actually supporting each other. So do you look back now, Kathy, and see that everything that happened, and I ask this question because it's my truth, that everything that happened in your past, you know, this whole story that you shared was really to prepare you for the work that you're doing now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you, and this is what I share, is that I spent almost 30 years trying to figure out, why is this happening to me? Why me? You couldn't have come up with a worse scenario, right? You know, married a recovered drug addict who, you know, then I fell off and became an addict again, lived through those years, lived through the HIV and AIDS, became a single parent, had to build a career so I could raise two children. I was single, you know, took care of aging parents. Like, it was like every time I turned a corner, something was happening. And the one thing, of course, I prided myself in, I was not a victim, right? I was just, all these things were happening to me. And I just couldn't figure out, and I used to have conversations with God, and I would really surrender. I really thought I was surrendering, and I work with John was, I said to John, I am so open. I am so ready. Please, please, please help me heal. And he said to me, and I was it was so beautiful to have, you know, a spiritual teacher like that. And I said to him, and he said to me, Kathy, he said, you're not open. And I was like, what do you mean? I said, all these horrible things have happened to me. My heart is split wide open. And he said, it's split open and it's cracked and the light can get in. And, you know, all of the memes that we say and the quotes and the spiritual quotes. And he said, your heart is wrapped like a sheet of armor. He said, it's just suited. And each, you know, like your heart is like, it has crusted barnacles around it. And each thread is just the pain and the challenge and the disappointment. And he said, until you learn to open your heart and let love in, you will not heal. And that is really, and I will say, it's really the secret. The book is not about the secret that I, it really is about learning the journey to learn to open your heart to love. Because until I did that, I could not heal. And yet I thought, I was this fabulous person, right? I was helping everyone and I was so kind and generous, you know, to my husband, and I held his sacred space and I was good to this one. But I was so cut off from my own love, from my own self, that how could I give love, be love, receive love, if I didn't find the love that was residing in my own heart?
This is so, just everything you're saying is just resonating with me and everything I've learned on my path and the stories I brought on into the show. And I appreciate you sharing it with us. And I want to jump over to break because I want to continue this conversation. So
okay.
We'll be back in a moment with Kathy Crawford of KathyCrawford.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. And I'm your host, Linda Joy. With me today is the author of Unlocking Secrets, My Journey to an Open Heart, with Kathy Crawford. So, Kathy, right before the break, you were sharing about how your heart was so closed off and this journey to opening it. Did you, like, for me, my heart, my healing of my heart was more of an unfolding. I had to acknowledge first, as it sounds like you did, that it was really closed, even though my mind was like, oh, I'm wide open. And I'm going back about 25 years ago. And it wasn't until I got out of my head in that, in telling myself my heart is open, to feeling my heart in the truth, as you just so beautifully shared. And I loved what he said, the armor, right?
Yeah.
Because thinking back, I had a sense of pride that I had such armor around my heart.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
and then I got to this
point.
Yeah, and I had this like pride, like, oh, yeah, nothing else is going to get me. You know, I got myself covered. Well, what you keep out is love, joy, happiness, your sense of truth. And I've read a lot on your website and in some of your blog posts, and one of the things that you shared about the cost of keeping secrets is the loss of self in our voice. So as you healed your heart, is that when you discovered your voice, your truth, your power, your joy?
Very much. And you know, the catalyst for that was I had become a yoga teacher. And I've been on this spiritual path for quite some time. And when I started to take the seat of a yoga teacher, and I would do my dharma, and I would do, you know, the flow, I was really struggling. And I couldn't figure out why I was struggling. And then I said to myself, you know, like, who am I who am I to be a teacher? And I had built also, and at the same time, you know, as I was doing both, I had this fabulous in the luxury industry, and I was selling watches and jewelry, and I had these huge accounts, you know, Neiman Marcus and Saks and all these fabulous accounts, and I would have to go do these presentations to their senior management, to their boards, and I would do training and sales presentations, and I would, my head would always be like, if they only knew who I was. And it was really, and I always kind of had that with work, but then I was like, well, that's because, you know, it's work and it's career, and maybe I need more practice in public speaking and, you know, go to Toastmasters and do all these things. But it wasn't that. It was because I was not authentic, because I was not speaking from a place of my truth. And when I became a yoga teacher, this wasn't about, oh, well, let me get you from one asana to a next, right? Or let me share some insight with you on the teachings. It was really being, when you're teaching in the spiritual world, you come with your heart, right? We teach from our heart. And, but I knew, I didn't know the connection, but that was what really started, where I could not speak. And I used to say to my teachers, I'd be like, it's like my throat is clogged, right? It's like I was choking on these words. I couldn't get them out. And that is when, you know, I did the work where I finally, after, you know, as I said, it was almost 20 years that I told my yoga teacher, my spiritual teacher, about my story. And she said to me, she said, first of all, she's, I cannot believe you've been holding this in. She said, I've known you for so long and you've never shared this. And I was like, well, why, you know, of course, why would I? And then when I did, you know, she said to me, she said, why are you holding on to this? And I said to her, who am I without my story? This mm-hmm. is who I am. This is who I am. And she's like, oh, Angel, she said, this is not who you are. This is not who you are. Yes, these things have happened to you, but that's not who you are. And so when I actually went, and she said, I promise you, you need to break this bind. You need to break the cord that's keeping you connected to Larry and your parents, because by now, like, everyone had died, right? So I was like, what's the difference, Linda, between, I couldn't figure out, between a memory and between attachment, right? In yoga, we study about attachment. And I never looked at that as attachment. To me, that was my memory. I was carrying these beautiful, loving memories. But it wasn't. I was attached to the story. I was attached to the circumstances. And when I released that story, it was like, it really was like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. It was like everything that I thought people would hate me, they would reject me, I would have this shame, I would be outcast, is when I started to share the story, the love and the compassion that was there for me was what I had been looking for my whole life, right? Was this
and
love.
By closing your heart, you had shut that all out from coming to you.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is what I share with women. We think we are so sure, just like you were saying, oh, I'm so sure my heart was open. So, right? We're so sure of our circumstances and our stories that we don't even realize that we are, you know, stuck in our stories, or we become our stories, but that's not really who we are. So doing this work, I mean, the stories that I have been hearing from other women, it's such an honor to be able to have them share them with me. And it makes, you know, it's making sense. And that's why I really want to build this community where women can just go and feel safe and just say it, just release what we've been holding on to. For, you know, could be, you know, forever, could be for something that's just happening. But we can't keep it bottled up and closed off from the world and from our hearts.
No, we can't. It costs us too much.
Yeah.
You know, it costs us our health, our joy, our sense of self. And, you know, we all have our different secrets. I had childhood stuff that had happened. And for me, I actually didn't have the memories until I got married. So it's memories, like yours, but yours were conscious memories, right? But there were attachments. I had unconscious memories, well, until I was 30, and I'm 56 now. So once those memories came out and I was aware that most of my life at the beginning was a lie, I had to change that story or it would have destroyed me. Mm. But, of course, I had to go through that journey that I had to go through the pain, right, as you did. Then I had to come to the awareness of that my heart was closed because I thought it was open, especially when I was on the spiritual path about 3 years. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm over it. It's
right,
fine.
Right.
And then, you know, friends or loved ones or trusted mentors would go, just like your spiritual mentor did for you. I was like, oh, no, Kathy, it's not open. And this is why all my brands, from the radio shows to the books to the mag and to all the virtual events that I produce, is about getting women to live from the inside out. I'm not here to share tell them their path, but until they look inward, we can't heal to bring what we want on the outside to us, whether that's love, joy, abundance, it doesn't matter what it is, right? Have you discovered that since releasing your book and building this community, that it is about starting from the inside?
Oh, it is all. It is all. And I coach now. As a coach, I do a small part of my work, but it is a very important piece of my work is in the integrative coaching, which, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, things had gone back to your childhood. Well, all of my beliefs went back to my childhood. You know, I work with shadow beliefs, right? With meaning making, and all of these shadow beliefs led me to the type of life that I had. Where was my worthiness? Where was my confidence? Was I lovable? These were all beliefs that I had set forth and made myself safe growing up as a childhood and just growing up in my childhood. You know, there were so many issues, but you know, they formed under the age of 10. They keep us safe. And what happens is they just become part of our, you know, our unconscious DNA. Like, we don't believe it. Like, we say we want one thing, but yet everything happens the other way. I want this really normal life, right? I want to marry, you know, this nice, clean-cut guy and live this happily ever after. Well, I certainly didn't pick that. And why didn't I? So the work that I do will bring you back to the beginning, where it all started. And in that work, what we do, and this is the difference with traditional therapy, is we get out of the head, which, of course, we need to know intellectually what is going on. But until we get out of our head and into our hearts, we're never going to heal. You know, I used to think, okay, let me just forgive everybody. Right? If I forgive everybody, I'm an amazing human being and I will heal. But until you acknowledge what has happened, you know, that you have been hurt or these things really happened to you. And it doesn't always, you know, these don't always have to be terrible, tragic things either. I don't want to give the impression that all of this is the dark night of the soul and these horrible things. But these things are formed very young. And these are the way we wound up living our lives. So, you know, I think the process is really important to acknowledge what has happened. Yes, forgive what has happened so that you can begin to open your heart and heal.
Forgiveness changed my life. And and I don't know about you, but for me, it wasn't a conscious decision. Like, I didn't say, I am going to forgive my abuser. Mm. It was just, I continued to work on me. I continued my path, and one day I woke up and found I had pure forgiveness in my heart and was like, how the hell did this happen? Like, it was, there were no triggers there. And from that space, and I'm not saying this is the path for everyone else, from that space of forgiveness, which is, we're going back, that moment happened about probably 18 years ago, I was able to create a brand new relationship with my abuser, one based from a place of my power. It was extraordinary. That by me doing that, it allowed the rest of the family to heal. I didn't know that till 20 years later when everyone said, you finding forgiveness healed our wounds. We weren't the one abused. You were, and we were angry. And you found forgiveness? How could we not find forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
In their own way, right? So
yeah, that's beautiful.
And the other thing, too, Kathy, for me, I think healing it, and it sounds like for you, too, I was able to tap into self-love, which I didn't have most of my life. I thought I did.
Oh, that, yeah.
But, of course, I didn't. Have you found that in your work as an integrative coach, and would you work with women?
My biggest, what really healed me was learning to love myself. And every day I wake up, Linda, with, I was so resistant. I was just not lovable. I was just not worthy of love. And yet I had done nothing, but somewhere I, you know, in my shadow, I was unlovable. I was just unlovable. So every day is about, you know, loving myself and being kind and compassionate to myself. And that was what I could not do. I blamed myself for everything that had happened. And so when you learn to forgive yourself, that's when forgiveness can take place and transform everyone's life. Because, you know, we're so focused on forgiving the person that's hurt us, but we can't change that or force them, we can't change it, nor can we change the person that's hurt us, but we can change ourselves.
Yes.
We can learn to love again. We can learn to heal. And when we lose sight and we stop being focused on the outside, like you said, on the person that's hurt us, and we can focus on ourselves and treat ourselves with loving kindness, that's when it heals the whole world. And that's why in this work, you know, I know I can't fix the world right now. That's for darn sure. But I know that one person at a time, if we can all learn to love one another, love ourselves, start with ourselves, and then it'll start to spread and grow.
Exactly. I believe, like I'm a very visual person, so I believe that as we each heal as individuals, it changes the energy that's projecting out from us. And that ripple touches first our inner circle, like our children, our families,
right.
And it continues rippling out. And I feel the greatest thing we can do for this world is to work on ourselves, right?
Oh,
is to heal ourselves.
And so many of us think that that's a selfish act, right?
It's selfish. Because we have that mindset that for many of us, we were raised with, like, what are you doing putting yourself first? And now, you know, I'm a grandma, she's 7, and I have an 18-year-old grandson, too. And thankfully, my daughter's 34. My daughter didn't pick up the self-love story that I had. Like, I remember watching her at 15 years old. She'd take the little radio in the bathroom, get the bubble bath, bring the nail stuff, all this. And I'm like, oh, my God. She's doing what I never could, like something so simple.
Right.
I know that sounds simple, but you know what? It showed me that she had that core that I'm worthy of this time.
Yes.
I never had that. I never had that feeling. It was like, oh, no, everybody else must go first, you know?
Right.
And now to see her teaching that sense of self-love and self-worth to my granddaughter, life does come full circle. So,
it does, and I think that as women, we do need to break that cycle.
Oh,
we need, as parents, as mothers, whether you have a boy or a girl, I raised two amazing children who both, everyone has said to me, how did they feel about you writing this book? I mean, it was their life, right? And they were the most supportive, generous men that I could have ever been, you know, more proud of. They supported this book wholeheartedly. And I'm sure there was moments and difficult times. This was their dad. This was their mom. This was our lives, you know. But we broke the cycle. We broke the cycle.
It's so beautiful. And I am just honored that you were able to join me today. I want to thank you for writing your inspiring memoir.
Thank you for doing
the work that you're doing in the world. Excuse me, I had a tickle in my throat. And I just... I believe, as you do, we are the nurturers of the next generation. So thank you for being here. And I want to invite everyone, please, learn more about Kathy and the work she's doing in the world. Go to KathyCrawford.com and grab a copy of her book, Unlocking Secrets, My Journey to an Open Heart. Thank you again for joining me, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Until next time, everyone, choose love, choose joy, and choose happiness.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.